Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 268. Yes, sir, 268. This is a spotlight on DC Comics Superwoman number one, circa 2016, for you future people. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And this is the one I believe I said last issue that was one of my biggest surprises, or last episode. Just the idea of Lois Lane having Superman superpowers, which I wondered how they were going to do that, and I don't know why I didn't figure it out before I read it, but hey, you know, I thought, well, this is going to be cheesy, it's not going to be worth anything, it's going to be boring, and boy, was I wrong.
Boy, were you wrong. You had your head so... Never mind, go ahead.
I was expecting another Chinese Superman kind of thing, but I love... Jimenez is doing the writing and the art in this, isn't he?
Yes, he has taken a page from his hero, George Perez, and is doing the art and... Yeah, he's doing the pencils and the scripting, and... He's also taking a page from, as we will discover, a page from the George Perez School of Writing, which is tell, don't show. So,
I guess it is kind of wordy, but I didn't mind it as much.
No, I mean, I'm referring to when George Perez did the first few issues of the New 52. I think it was Superman that he did.
And he was
just writing that. Oh my! There was like more words than art per panel. It was difficult, and that's been his problem all along. Whenever he writes, so that Sirens book over at Boom, which I don't even know whatever happened to that book, but that had
I had said last time we talked about that I stopped trying to read it and just look at it.
Yeah, it's like an issue of Playboy. I'm sure it's got words in there, but the pictures are really pretty. So
I just stopped messing with that altogether because of that.
I read issue two of this series of the book that we're going to be talking about today, and yes, again, very wordy, and it's. Goes against my grain to have a problem with there being words, because ultimately these are comic books.
But exactly.
Occasionally, I think there is an argument to be made for less words, more.
Yeah, and I don't know if Phil Jimenez has done much writing, so maybe he's just not used to doing his storytelling with words, and he overdoes it.
Somebody out there can research it if they listen to this and care to research it, because I'm not going to. But I think he wrote the Tempest miniseries from way back when he gave Garth all those extra magical powers. And then, if he didn't, I know he drew it. But and then I know he did a couple of Wonder Girl or Donna Troy stories over the years. So, but beyond that, I couldn't say what his writing creds are.
I can look it up.
He's
got a lot of books in there.
This painted cover of this issue, oh my god, it's gorgeous.
It is. It really is.
I'm not used to seeing his stuff painted, and this is lovely. The coloring over there on the left hand side of the Superman's insignia, the shield on the left, it glows, and then the John.
Pardon me, I sneezed.
Don't let it get to your head. the John Irons face. Oh my god, it looks metallic, and then the Lana Lang reveal at the bottom.
Wow,
it's lovely.
He's written a whole lot more than I thought.
Has he?
Yeah. JLA Titans book.
Did he?
What it says. It credits him as writer. There's some Infinite Crisis. He might not have been the only writer.
Yeah, I'm going to guess he was co-writing, because I know Infinite Crisis, he did not.
Devin Grayson and him both wrote that.
The Titans Justice League one. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks for looking that up.
No, that's fine. Yeah, he's a lot more than I thought he did. Savage Wolverine. Okay. Guy Gardner Warrior. I would put that on my resume, but hey, whatever.
Oh, there were some great issues of that series.
I never read it, so I really shouldn't say anything. All right, who wants to do this? You want to do it, or I can do it?
You can do it. I'm
the one that suggested. So
I am stifling the yawns myself. Not from the book itself, just...
Yes.
Because I'm old.
It's been a long weekend. I got stuck with babysitting while the sister was out again.
Sisters.
Yeah, well, it's all right. She had to get her brakes done, too, so anyway... Superwoman. You got a nice cover by Terry Dodson.
Oh, that one is gorgeous as well. Yeah, the second cover?
Yeah, that's really good. I think is the colors switch? No, I guess not.
That's very cheesecakey, the Terry Dodson one. And it makes me think about how all these people were bitching about the Wonder Woman covers by Frank Cho that were too cheesy, too cheesecake.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah. Look at this cover. I mean,
she doesn't have as much skin showing. Though.
Right, but you know, you cut the it's whatever. I'm a big fan of Frank Cho's pinup, so this is that kind of stuff bothered me. Anyhow.
Yeah, I can understand. So. No, I don't blame you. I know it's whatever. It's not meant to be. It's meant in fun, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
the other word I'm thinking, the bad word is I can't think of it. It's not meant to I don't know. Anyway, it's meant in as tongue in cheek, kinda cool. Okay. Let's go back a little bit here. Kinda set the scene up. For those of you that don't know, the 52 Superman died literally in an explosion. He exploded.
He did.
And there'd be a trade of that coming out. The Final Days of Superman, I think it's called. I just got through pre-ordering that recently. Oh, and along those lines, I noticed they're putting out the Lois and Clark trade and Titans Hunt, which will be out here any day now, and they have a logo on it, Road to Rebirth. And I would consider that Final Days of Superman on along those lines either, as well. So we got Lana Lang is on the Kent farm, and she's doing work.
Which is for sale.
Which is for sale by owner. Because in the 52 universe, his parents were dead way before he became Superman.
Yes.
Which is closer to the original.
Grant Morrison. Yeah, Grant Morrison firmly established that in his actions. Right.
Yes, that was, and then that was that way in pre-crisis. It was post-crisis that they came back, which is one of the things that they never died. Space flu or whatever it was, which was one thing I didn't mind. You know, I realized the other day that's the post the Superman we have now is technically the post-crisis Superman. So that's John Byrne Superman.
Okay.
Think about that.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, a thought.
Okay.
Which I'm loving anyway, but we'll get to that. When he blew up, some people were affected. That's where the energy for the new Super Dash Man from China came from.
Right.
And also, as we will discover, which is why Lois Lane is holding a farm tractor up over her head, is why she has powers as well.
And note, this is a few weeks ago, this particular sequence.
Yes, it says a few weeks ago. So this is real soon after he died, I guess.
Yes.
The new 52 Superman. And the Superman we got now has been in our universe since a little bit before the Justice League as we know it came to be. He almost intervened when Darkseid attacked, but he didn't. And he's been hiding around until recently, right before when the 52 Superman died. That's probably more than I needed to get into. But hey, I like them people to know what's going on. So anyway, basically what we've got, you got the pushy Lois Lane, and I'm going to cut out some of the stuff, I guess.
Word.
Just to kind of, yeah, the words. Because basically what's going on here, and this is something I'd forgotten, in the new 52, Lana Lang was best friends with Clark, and she helped him, and she's like, they remade her as a super brainy scientist type, geologist and an engineer kind of deal. I forget exactly what. But anyway, she's pretty smart. Engineer. And apparently she had helped Clark learn how to use his powers. So Lois had gave his identity out to the public, and everybody knew he was Clark before he started losing his powers. That's when I started reading Superman again. Because that was actually some good stuff. And
yeah, the Greg Pak stuff was awesome, yes.
Yeah. That whole series was going back and forth between Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Action Comics, and Superman. I was following all that, and that's when I first saw that Oz character. He didn't have a name then. It was during that. Now, he might have been there before that, but I don't remember. So, anyway, with that in mind, and she knows about Lana's part, so she's got Superman powers that she got from the explosion because she was there. So she's going to Lana and say, hey, help me learn how to use my powers, think of the headline, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it shows her flying off. So we kind of switch back and forth. We're going to pieces of news coverage of her flying around, helping people right around the time that Doomsday reappeared and Lex Luthor pretending to be Superman. He even has the new 52 Superman's cape that he took when he bought the Daily Planet so he could take it. And he's in a battle suit and all that good stuff. Superwoman's been going around helping people, and for some reason her face is pixelated out. Nobody can see that. So
this two-page spread, going back a page, that two-page spread of her flying over, which I assume is Metropolis with what I assume are like the Blue Angels or something.
Yeah, it's
lovely.
Close to it.
And that,
yeah, it's a very good spread.
And that design on the costume is, it's an amalgam of many different super costumes. But I think the belt, that S belt that she has on, that's in kind of in pieces down there.
Mm-hmm.
Want to say I've seen that, but I can't place it.
Well, there was a Superwoman back before the crisis, and she had a mask.
Yeah.
And she was like from the future or whatever. I think she had kind of like a chain kind of thing, so kind of reminiscent to that.
Maybe, yeah, that would obviously make sense.
Yeah, and technically, and this is nitpicky, but those are F-15 planes, which is an Air Force plane.
Okay.
And those are the colors are Blue Angels, which is the Navy. So that's kind of an interesting look, which, you know, hey, it's another universe. They can do it whatever you want.
And they got balloons.
Yes, and there's balloons, and they're flying over, Metropolis.
Metropolis, yes.
She kind of flew in and Hopefully the Blue Angels don't crash. But anyway, any pictures they try to take of her with camera or film, her face is grayed out. Not really grayed out, but pixelated. It's all blurry.
Sort of like how that was a Byrne-ism. Byrne did that with his Superman. After.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. But that makes sense. Kind of what the Golden Age Flash had done, because he wasn't wearing a mask. He just vibrated his face at a certain speed and where you couldn't make it out.
Right. But yeah, we get a little catch up on it. Things are going on in other super books here, like the thing with Doomsday there and various attacks on Metropolis here, there, and everywhere.
And we're at the part of that's being shown at the Daily Star, which old timers might remember that was the original name of the Daily Planet, was the Daily Star.
Well, actually, it was the original name for the paper that Clark Kent and Lois Lane and company worked at on Earth, when what became Earth 2. It was the Golden Age newspaper, yeah. But there was still a Daily Planet was a separate.
Was it?
Yes. Well, it became
name at one point.
Yeah, it became a separate entity when there was the Earth 1 or 2. I'm getting nerdy for just a moment there. Apologies.
Oh, that's fine. I just remember seeing that was I remember in one of the Crisis issues, it was Clark Kent was the editor of the Daily Star. It was the, you know, Earth 2 version.
Yep.
Oh,
classic. Anyhow.
Having a little issues with the snot. I apologize. So
is it salty?
Oh, I'm not even going to talk about it. So anyway, we're kind of going back and forth. We got Lana Lang's been talked into being a kind of a science correspondent, and she is at the christening of this battleship that Luthor has put together that's supposed to help him protect his city. You know. Him being Superman and all, which I hate that they've done this, but I like it at the same time because it is just exactly something that he would do, the arrogant bastard. And I mean, Batman even made a comment about his battle suit not having any kind of helmet or faceplate because he wouldn't want to hide his face. He would want everybody to know it was him.
Putting her on camera, that is definitely an homage to the pre-Crisis setup for Lana Lang. Because just before Crisis, she was actually an on-air personality for WGBS?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah,
when they had made all the Daily Planet people into TV news when there was actually news on the news personalities. Yeah. And somehow, and I am sure if we were to ask John Wilson, he could tell us how it happened, but Lana Lang somehow ended up being a desk reporter for them.
Yeah, I think back then she didn't know about Clark yet. They
no.
didn't do that.
That's John Byrne. That was John Byrne.
Yeah, because I remember him, his Superman, that she knew who he was.
Yeah, no, he revealed, there was that whole thing in Man of Steel 1 or 2 where he takes her off and shows him his powers and blah, blah. Anyhow, so this is clearly Jimenez giving a throwback to that era of Lana Lang as and stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
I agree.
They've done a real good job of what everybody else seems that they think they have to do when they come up with a new comic and start it, quote unquote, over, is take a shit can, everything else has happened in the past. And even though New 52 wasn't our favorite, I'm speaking for you, Caleb, but it wasn't my favorite, a lot of it.
Right.
They've kept a lot of it, but made it better and got it back to where it was before, in my opinion.
Well, they're doing what Marvel has always succeeded in doing, which is we'll just keep using what we think is cool, and the rest of it just kind of fades into obscurity. If we don't mention it, people are going to start, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, no one's even going to care. And if we ever decide to bring it back, we can say, hey, look, we never actually forgot that such and such happened. So That's a cool aircraft carrier, by the way.
Yeah, and a little bit about that. And he says he calls it the Gestalt, a giant battle cruiser as long as LexCorp Tower is tall. That's actually Lana talking. He goes on and on about its futuristic design and pacifying weapons and how it's meant to inspire confidence and security in people, not fear. He never even mentions Clark's passing on the other Superman flying around. Yeah, that's one. The world at large thought Superman was dead until the one from the one we have now, I guess you could say, the Rebirth Superman shows right. up. And, of course, he's a completely different person, even though they're so a lot alike.
Married with a kid.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, you know, he's on and on, and, you know, after Doomsday's horrific attack, I would think you, of all people, would see the need for a vessel like this, Miss Lane. Superman can't be anywhere, not now that I don't. Now I don't need to be. And she had asked him, you know, what does Superman need with a warship? Kind of like, what does God need with a starship, actually?
Okay.
One of my favorite lines.
Are you referencing Star Trek V?
Yes, I know. That movie, I learned more about that movie recently, just a quick moment, that was one movie that Roddenberry had absolutely no involvement in. And they did it without his involvement, and William Shatner directed it, and Roddenberry hated it.
As did all right-minded people.
Yes, most fans hated it and don't even consider it a part of continuity. So anyway, So she's arguing back and forth on camera, and he's like, you know, he's thinking how great he is. I made this big warship and blah, blah, blah. Yes. So she says, I am grateful that very, very grateful. You're not the only one wearing that symbol. So then, of course, all of a sudden somebody does a thing and, the warship starts going crazy, starts pushing the ship around, causes big waves. His armor shut down. Lex's armor shuts down. He can't fly or do anything and just stand there like the buffoon that he is. And so Lana starts talking to Superwoman, and she's like, God, oh, pardon me, man.
The jerk of steel is out.
Yeah, that's a good one. And she says this is definitely a job for Superwoman. So she, Lois, the lowest Superwoman, oh, well, you know, we'll get to that in a minute. She goes in, and Lana's kind of telling her what to do. She uses the super breath and puts a great big old ice thing around it to keep it from causing waves and capsizing things. But that's not quite enough. It's jerking around so much that the airplanes are flying off the deck.
Those planes that she was flying with in that two-parade spread that I was admiring earlier are LexCorp planes.
Yes, they are LexCorp planes, apparently. And she's catching them. And, of course, Lex is like, who are you talking to? Because she's whispering to Superwoman.
That'd be Lana, yes.
Yeah, Lana is talking to Lois. And then there's a line from the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. Lois says, I've got you. Talking to the guys on the plane, and he says, you got us, who's got you? And you can see her kind of smirk. Yeah. And she drops the planes off and flies off and does some more stuff, and fire is starting to hit the ship, and Lex is starting to panic. Thousands of people on that bridge, help them! And he's thinking about all the insurance premiums that he's going to have to pay, probably. I'm sure he doesn't really give a shit about any of those people.
Because his big aircraft carrier thingy is about to hit the
right.
big bridge.
Which, you think about it, he's probably had this thing being built for a while. He's just using it as an excuse.
McGinnis Bridge, so, referring to probably Ed McGinnis, who did some pretty cool Superman stuff recently. So.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, you're right.
And there was also Schaffenberger Station earlier. But
oh, that's right. Yeah, so... Lois is like, you know, I can't do this alone. I need you. And Lana's like, I got a mic on, you know, I can't. It's like, well, okay. So then you go back to then, and they're talking about powers again. and Lois is doing some flying training, and she's got a nosebleed. And she's saying, you know, Lance says, get back down here. How long you been getting those nosebleeds? Clark would get headaches, not nosebleeds, which is interesting. I never heard that before.
That's a new one, yeah.
So apparently, so then they're talking about, see, off and on since the last time you clocked me, actually. You mean that time when you outed Clark's secret ID to the world? You know I regret that decision. I did it because at the time I thought I had to. She did it because some bad guy found out who he was and was using it to blackmail him, so she just figured she'd just tell everybody.
That horrible bad guy. That was actually a shit storyline, but anyhow.
That part of it was,
yes.
Yeah. I liked this, watching him struggle to still be Superman and not have powers. It was...
Oh, no, that was great. It was that...
That part was good. Yeah, that particular villain was crap. Though the art was good because it was John Romita Jr., so... Anyway... they're talking about, you know, and...
They mentioned the new Clark Kent, so...
Yes, yeah. They were both there when he died. This is, it happened in the final days of Superman. Yeah, that's what it was. We were both struck by that energy. You know what I can do, and if you can do what I think you can, imagine what we can do together. So she wasn't really sure if Lana had powers, and of course we find out, boom, Lana has powers. She's a superwoman as well. Her powers are more like the red and blue Supermans from the 890s that was completely ridiculous.
Electric blue Superman.
But in this, the way they did this, it makes perfect sense to me. And her costume even looks like that. It's kind of it's almost a Saturn Girl-esque look to it. That's the first thing I thought.
And this is kind of reminiscent of that new superpower that Jeff Johns, and I think, as you mentioned, Romita Jr., gave Superman near the end of that run, where he could do solar bursts, but this is more controlled.
Yeah, I remember when they started talking about the New 52, and they were talking about Supergirl, that they were changing it up, saying that not every Kryptonian would have the same powers, and that yellow sun giving them powers would have different effects on different people. I don't know if Supergirl ever got anything funky like that, but that was his thing. He could hold up his energy, build it up, and have a big solar burst, and he would be completely human for 24 hours, I think it was.
Right.
Which he did it several times there, and then he almost didn't get his powers back.
Yeah, there was that's when it prompted the loss of power thing. He did the supernova thing, and for whatever reason, they just stopped. His powers did not come back fully at that point.
Yeah. And then you find out later that, you know, Vandal Savage was draining them and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Love the costume design. Anyway. You're absolutely right. That is I did not notice the callback to Saturn Girl, but that is very much in the vein of the Giffen Saturn Girl costume. So.
Especially the one from that was in the last days of the Superman and the Legion of Superheroes thing that he did. It reminds me a lot of the look that she had when her and the two other founders were rappelling down into the Batcave in the future.
Yeah.
She cut her hair short. I mean, she's got long hair there, but it's behind her head, so anyway. So she kind of does the transforming Shazam kind of thing and turns herself into energy. And the bad guy's like, so, there are two of them. The next thing you know, they're both up there flying, and she's got kind of like the Starfire thing flowing behind her, like it's coming off of her head almost. And they're, you know, talking back and forth. I was working, you know.
I think I want to go back a page real quick.
Go ahead.
Back of the villain's head, they only show the villain from behind. And it is very reminiscent of, and again, it's just in silhouette, but it's got that green tint to it with yellow, and you can almost see a bald head at the top of it. It is very reminiscent of the pre-crisis Luther armor.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously not by accident. I mean, it's
we
don't know a lot about this villain, but that is.
Yeah, and they reveal it in the second issue, and I was actually shocked. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't either.
So, you know, you got that Daily Stars watching, and you know, the guys that are with Lana, they just realize she's not there. And he's like, "No, that's impossible. There's two of them." And I like that line. Lana's like, "Did your cape get bigger? I mean, it looks huge right now." And it does. It's very strange. It's like he drew it that way, and then it's like, well, I got to say something about that in the thing, you know. Or he didn't mean to draw it that big. But anyway, I don't know.
Kind of meta.
Yeah, it was. Well, Batman's cape did that too, a lot.
Yes.
So anyway, Lois is like, "Are we good with the Windy Banner? I thought you liked the Windy Banner," Lana says. "What I like is to save people on that boat and the bridge." So anyway, so they're doing their thing. "You need to slow that ship down. I'll meet you back here in, say, 60 seconds. So she goes in and does her thing. So the Kryptonian solar energy that gave us these powers turned Lois into a human tank. Super strength, speed. Suddenly she could see through buildings and hear cars honking in Bangkok. Me, on the other hand, and you see some eyes watching, evil-looking, beady eyes with funky irises. They looked almost snake-like.
With the green armor around them, yeah.
Yep, exactly. The helmet. "I started figuring out how to transform all the acceleration into other kinds of energy, like electricity. I can't push the moon out of its orbit with my bare hands or freeze a river by blowing on it yet, but I've got other tricks up my sleeve. Fire's just cold plasma, electrons, ions, even soot. Pardon me. In fires, all respond to electric fields, so I create an oscillating electrical field to pull the fires away from their fuel source, and they go out like that." That's very cool. That shows her engineering thing. It's just currency and frequency and voltage. And she's, "There, your turn, Chief." I really like that outfit. It's really nice design. It shows that she's super... a woman, but doesn't riff off the old costume, which I kind of like that. So anyway, they're talking back and forth. And she's telling Lois what to do. Blast the ballast tanks, which if ballast tanks are filled with air, and that's what helps ships float. And she's saying drop the anchors. So she's using heat vision to do that. So now they're back flying out, and they realize, uh-oh, we have not quite yet slowed it down. So she barely slowed it down. "The anchors wouldn't release. Can you zap it with something? I can't convert solar energy to manipulate something this big yet. I don't know how." And she's like, "Didn't get behind me. Why? You still have super strength, right? Just brace yourself against me." You're kidding. Okay, so that I'd missed before. Lana has super strength as well. Apparently,
yes.
Yeah. So, she's, "I'm not kidding." So, Lana puts her feet on the support for the bridge, and they put their backs together. And she's saying, "This will never work." Lois says, "Just pretend you're in a CrossFit class." "I don't do CrossFit." "Oh, shit." Or, actually, it's, oh, you know, the bunch of letters. So, they're... back to back, and they're both pushing on those things, trying to slow that thing down. And eventually, it works. We did it. And, oh, I love that little panel. And you see the words blink, 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 just like in a cartoon. That's yep. Hilarious. So then we flash back, and they're having dinner together, talking about being, you know, partners. And imagine the headline, Super Squad saves the world again. You know, Lois with her thing, and they're talking back, and I guess Lois has been having anxiety attacks since what happened, and she pops an anxiety pill. The last time she had a flare-up, she set the barn on fire, it shows there. And they're talking about, you know, it's like, he was my best friend, he died right in front of me. So honor him then. Use his power to remind people what that symbol stands for. I know what that symbol stands for better than anybody. Then prove it. You can't stand small forever, Lana. You have too much to offer the world. I told Clark the same thing. And he changed history when he became Superman. Now it's your turn. So there's aftermath, and, you know, he's complaining, Luthor's complaining, blah, blah, blah. You know, I need to get in there. I demand you take me to the this and that, which actually he wants to go and he wants to go cover his ass real quick. Meanwhile, we don't see that his bodyguard slipped away. And
what is her name? It's not Faith. It's the hell is
Mercy.
It? Mercy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But is it Mercy? Oh man, allergies are killing me. Oh, all right, here we go. Back to
close to done. We got like 5 pages.
Yeah, we're good.
Go and go.
And he's saying, I don't care about my safety. Of course, there's a bunch of people walking around. It's my ship. I designed it. I handpicked the personnel. It's like, your armor's not working. We're not going to have you get in trouble, blah, blah, blah.
I like how it keeps cutting back and forth between when they were talking on the farm and the now.
Yeah. Says, Lana's telling Lois, no shortcuts, no easy out. Swear to me, we can't let Lex Luthor become Clark's legacy. We won't. We're in this team now. In this together now. I'm not leaving you. I promise. Yeah, famous last words. I'm sorry, Lex. Lana's telling him, we can't risk your safety either. We'll save your crew. Did you hear that? Whoever did this is still on board. So we see inside, and there's all kinds of things going on, and people are being torn apart, and they find some really funky technology. And Lois is looking around. The walls of this whole level are lined with lead. My vision powers aren't working, but something is. They're dead. They're all dead. They're all dead, Dave. Oh, sorry. Lana's kind of starting to freak out a little bit. And then all of a sudden, a bizarro superwoman comes out of the woodwork and attacks. And they're going back and forth again. Don't make that promise if you can't keep it. Clark did that to me and he died. My parents did that and they died. My brother did and he died too. Can't handle losing someone like that again, Lois, so don't. So, of course, you know, there's a throwdown and the bizarro superwoman. You can't really tell what it looks like. You just barely see it, but you kind of get a hint on the cover. Well, you get a look at the eyes and it's got that white cracked look like Bizarro.
Right, and the hair. Yeah.
Yeah, and the hair's all fuzzy, gray looking. So, you know, and they flash back again how they're talking about, you know, Lois is all, she's a reporter. She's the annoying reporter, though, because she keeps saying things. Farm girl teaches Metropolis Marvel everything she knows. That's your headline. So I'm Lana Lang. The woman going toe-to-toe with that monster is Lois Lane. She's Lois. We never had all that much in common, and Lois is getting her butt kicked. And she's trying to help. She gets clocked, and she starts glowing. I'm not going anywhere, Red, I promise. Clark, oh, God, I understand now. It all makes sense. And then she kind of blows up. And
New 52 Superman did.
Yep, and turns to ash exactly like he did.
And you see who gets caught in the explosion.
Yep.
Lana Lang.
She does.
Yep.
Yeah. Lois. Next, who killed Superwoman? And you see the thing standing there, and it looks like it's soaking in some of that power, too.
Yep.
We were both Superwoman. I don't know how I'm going to do this along without her. And she's just staring and sitting there and looking at her and saying, what are you? Her hair looks blonde there. Did you notice that?
It's just the light.
The light. Yeah. And that's the end of it. And boy, what a shocker that was.
Yep.
Was not expecting. See, and that's right there shows you they do it with movies and they do it with comics too, and you almost can't read the internet. I mean, the comic will come out at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then by an hour later, you'll see, oh, this happened in this issue. If you follow certain news feeds and whatever, and I had no idea what to expect. Except for what was on the cover, Lois had superpowers. and I'd forgotten about the, you know, her being there during the explosion, and I hadn't made that leap of logic yet, and not knowing what was going to happen, it was just like the Matrix, the first Matrix movie. I made sure I didn't watch anything about it. I had no clue what it was. I just knew it looked kind of interesting. Things I've seen, went in completely blind, no idea what I was walking into, and loved it. And that's what this is right here for me. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, no, and it's like you said, it's more and more difficult every week, every day to not get spoiled. And because some people just don't give a crap and they'll, you know, won't even wait, you know,
well,
a nice, respectful, at least 24 hours before they start posting details.
Yeah.
It's like, give people a fucking chance to buy the issue.
Well, and that's how our society has moved to, though, is they want everything immediately. They want instant gratification.
Sure.
I hate watching movies with my nephews because every 2 minutes, well, why is that way? Well, what's going on here? Watch the movie.
Oh, God, you're preaching the choir. I tell my kids constantly, the movie or the TV show will explain it. I cross my heart. And if we get to the end of this and there's no explanation, I'll explain it to you. It's like
I don't know, but the oldest nephew, he's way up there. He's like two levels higher in math than everybody else in his class. And he just can't help himself. He's got to ask the questions constantly. And it's like real hard to watch anything with them because they're like, what's going on there? What's that about? Why is that like that? Like, just, you know, my sister and I are like, watch the freaking movie and you'll see.
Boy, sometimes I have to lay down the smack at the beginning of watching a show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I have to say, if I hear word one from you of that kind, you don't get to finish watching whatever it is we're watching, you know.
Just turn it off and go somewhere else, yeah. The middle one, I've got to – he doesn't understand the concept of spoilers quite yet. He's ruined movies for the other two because I'll put them up on Plex. And with the idea of watching, you know, like the Superman-Batman movie, Batman versus Superman, and I put it up, you know, I ripped it, put it up on Plex so we can, you know, anybody can watch it. And with the idea that we'll watch it all together later. And we're sitting there, it's like, yeah, I watched so-and-so, and this happened. And oh, God, no. It just completely ruined it for them, you know.
Right.
Oh, man. And I kind of got a little bit more upset than I need to. It ended up making him cry, so I felt bad.
No,
but that's just,
maybe I'll keep his big yap shut next time.
Yeah, it's like, geez, man, just be quiet. Keep it to yourself. He started doing that with The Flash show, because we were watching that together, and they'd show up on Plex, and he'd watch them, like, right after, and then, oh, I saw this happen. Shut up! Damn it, kids! Anyway, I really enjoyed this issue.
Welcome to a form of parody. Yeah, no, it was a great issue. I have problems with the second issue, but that's a whole different discussion.
You know, it seems like I did too, but I can't remember exactly what it was.
But this was this going completely. I also was able to not get spoilers on this, other than the quality of the book. I had seen many people complimenting this book before I actually read it, so I felt confident going into the reading of it, but I didn't know what I was going to get. So it was nice to see that. And he has made, Phil Jimenez has made vague promises that Lois Lane as a character in this book is not done. So that, but there's another Lois Lane running around the universe. So who knows?
Well, and I wondered what they were going to do about that. And that took care of it right there.
Yeah. I think, we'll see more of that. So as they've now introduced a new Clark Kent, but that's a different conversation as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that quite yet. But and I guess I missed somewhere her and Henry Irons being an item.
Well, that was going on for a while in, I think, just before it started, just before that whole loss of power storyline. They hooked up. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but he was helping out with something going on in Metropolis, and they they were working together at scientist level, Lana Lang and John Irons.
Yeah.
And then they had a merging of sorts with his armor, and that it was subtle sex, yeah. Subtle comic book sex.
Okay. Hey, I don't have a problem with it. I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Though I did love the Legion reference in there, in that issue. That was pretty funny.
Which issue?
Number 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought we were... Apologies. I forgot what we were talking about for a moment. So.
No, that's fine.
All right, I'm spent. I need that nap that you bragged about before we started here. So.
Yes, I need to get back to what I was doing. But all right, yeah. So I really enjoyed that. That was one of the really good ones. Yep.
Agreed.
Yeah. There was other ones that I had higher hopes for and weren't as good, but that one was one I was pleasantly surprised about. So good stuff.
Kudos, good. Mr. Jimenez.
Yes. I think I told him on Instagram even that I enjoyed it.
I think he was just, if I'm not mistaken, they just had him on as a guest on the Legion of Substitute Heroes podcast. So
yeah, he's been on there before, but yeah, I think he was on there recently.
Yeah, they brought him
on. He is great to listen to, too. I remember when he was on there the first time, he just talked their legs off.
I haven't listened to either one. I'm woefully... My podcast listening has dropped to almost none at the moment.
Yeah, I don't either. I can't. I'm not driving a half hour to work back and forth every day like I was. So I don't. The stuff I'm doing, I need to be. You have to concentrate a lot easier than I was, a lot more than I was before, because I was doing menial, admin type work, filling out forms all day at my last job, and now I actually have to be careful and I don't, you know, blow up a continent or something.
Well, that's, we prefer that. I would. Yeah, I would. I can't speak for other people.
I try to keep that computer circuitry under control when I'm working. So
awesome. Yeah,
just for the safety of all you people out there listening.
All us know-nothings out here, but...
But anyway,
all right,
that's
go
about
ahead.
It. Okay. Let's do it. Let's do that thing. Okay, you can... Send us an email at podcast at talesfromalongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on our Facebook page and let us know what's going on there. And as always, you can send comment on the actual episodes. Oh, man, that's terrible. Comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think on that particular method. And, that's about it for this week. Until next time, we are out.